The Postal Service is planning to buy 180,000 new vehicles over the next 3 years. It wants those new trucks to have better safety equipment and better fuel mileage than that current fleet, which is getting pretty long in tooth. Mail carriers driving the new trucks will need more room, with parcel business up 20% over the past 5 years. Now, we usually don't feature bidders to a contract because we don't mean to imply any endorsement or favor of anyone, but one did catch my eye. Steve Burns is chief executive officer at Workhorse Group. That's one of several companies bidding on the new postal truck. He says the next mail truck won't be complete without a drone to lighten the load. Steve, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Tom.
All right, so you're bidding something that's a little bit different from the others, and I guess maybe that shows where deliveries and technology are going. Let's talk about the truck itself. It doesn't have a gasoline engine.
Well, we proposed, you know, all electric and a hybrid, a kind of a volt light solution. Some of the rural routes are a little longer, so either electric or hybrid.
And I guess let's back up a minute. What were some of the important requirements that the Postal Service laid out in its original request for a quote?
I'd say the bulk of the requirements are around the body, around the ergonomics, you know, of a driver. You know, package deliveries, quite a bit different than the mail delivery. So they want to be able to stand up in the van. They want more safety. The current vehicles are, like you said, a little long in the tooth, and I don't think they even have airbags in the current vehicles.
No, from the looks of some of them, they don't even, you wonder if they have brakes anymore.
Yeah.
So basically, it sounds like what they're looking for is something more like the ubiquitous FedEx or UPS trucks we see, where the driver stands and they're in and out and in and out and in and out.
Yeah, but I think a little smaller than those, because it still has to go up to the mailbox. You know, it's still, so kind of a combo unit. So I think it'll be somewhere between the current and a UPS or FedEx truck.
And what what side would the driver be on? So he would be on the right, he or she would be on
right
the right
side. Yeah, the bulk of them are the right side drive.
And so, do American manufacturers, as a rule, is it a hurdle for them to make a right hand drive vehicle?
No. It's you know, they have to be crash tested and everything, but it's technically it's the same.
All right, so let's talk about the electric chassis, which I did a little research on. This is not your basic Tesla, because it's much bigger. Tell us about what the state of the art is in this kind of technology.
Well, it's bigger, so you think, well, it needs much bigger battery and much bigger, you know, motor and systems than a Tesla, for example. But really, because the acceleration is very moderate, it's got actually a very small battery there. The average route of the 180,000 trucks, they told us, is 15 miles, 1.5. So, you know, relatively small battery pack, and motor-wise, you know, probably a little smaller motor, actually, than a Tesla.
Wow. So, you're not going to race anybody off the line in this truck.
Yeah.
But so what's the bigger drain in this type of technology? Is it the acceleration or the weight?
Well, these trucks stop currently. They stop an average of 700 times a day. And that stop, start, and very low speed, that's the toughest thing an internal combustion and an automatic transmission can do. And part of the rationale for this big sea change is both we want to get into packages, so we need a vehicle suited for that, and also the maintenance of these vehicles is pretty dramatic, you know, because again, the stop and go nature is the hardest thing. So, but it's the best thing for an electric motor. And for example, even if you just crunch all the, let's say each stop at each mailbox is 10 seconds, right? So 700 times a day, you're sitting there 10 seconds idling, completely idling. Where an electric, of course, it'll be completely no energy drawn. And then, so 10 seconds a day, 700 times a day, times 180,000 vehicles. When you start to look at, you know, numbers of that scale, the pollution and the fuel use and the maintenance is really quite a big thing. When you go, and they really, having them this long, they really know the maintenance schedule. So they've said, look, the like any good government contract, lowest bidder is an American is probably going to win the day. But lowest bid means total cost of ownership over 20 years. And when you start to put that into the mix, you know, electric suddenly appears as very competitive on the lowest cost.
And you talked about the maintenance cycle. I would say, I would guess that between FedEx and UPS, which have similar, I don't know whether they have the same truck, but they look basically alike. One's mm-hmm. white, one's mm-hmm. brown, and there's an engine in front and four tires underneath. There must be a very good history of knowing what the maintenance and failure mechanisms are in a vehicle like that already.
Yeah, that's very good. But again, a good UPS or FedEx truck, these are just rough numbers, will stop 150 times a day. Because each one of those stops is stop, get out of the truck, deliver something. So even they are not doing anywhere near 600 or 700 stops a day. So the post office is, and again, it's very low speed, where an internal combustion engine is the most inefficient. And it's just built. If any fleet in the planet should be electric, it should be. Seems like it should be the U.S. Post Office. It's
and
just perfect.
Do you have any commercial references that have used this type of chassis with an all-electric truck that you can show the Postal Service?
Yes. I mean, we've announced UPS is just started buying some trucks from us. Again, they're a little bigger, a little different duty cycle, not stopping as much. But it's the closest analogy we can find. So it's, we can show that we have the capability to do it.
We're speaking with Steve Burns. He is CEO of the Workhorse Group. And let's talk about the top of the truck. Now, this is where things get a little George Jetson-like. Mm-hmm. You are talking about having some kind of a drone launching mechanism on top.
Right. Right. Well, the current vehicles are north of 20 years old, and the post office is doing the same thing. They're saying these trucks should last 20 years. And when you're looking 20 years out at this point in time, I think you have to, and you have to speak now, forever hold your peace. I think you've got to start to consider that drones are going to be delivering things within that time period, and probably within the first couple of those years. So we feel like this isn't, you're not going to buy a toy drone and have it sitting in the seat next to you and give it a package and hold it out the window and it flies. So you want to integrate it with the vehicle very tightly. So it's pretty cool. The claws sit down. The drone rides on the roof under a cover, and the claws, though, stick down into where the driver is. And as soon as the driver puts a package in the claw, it reads the barcode, knows where it's got to go. The cover on the top pulls back, and it launches out of the top of the truck. And cover pulls back, covers up again the hole. And the drone will go to its address, which might be right, the carrier in this case in a post office could be sitting at the mailbox or moved on to the next mailbox, and the drone is just bringing it to the doorstep or to wherever the driver is touched on the screen. There's a little screen in the truck, and the driver touches with their finger exactly where the drone's to go. So an address isn't quite enough information. You need to know where at that address to deliver.
Yeah, because...
go ahead.
I was going to say houses vary a lot, and never mind apartment buildings, but even within houses, you have where the front step is out in the open. Some of them are under canopies, porches, columns, colonnades. Yep. Can the drone see its way to a door?
Well, it's the drone flies autonomously to above where they click their finger on the screen, and then a pilot in a command center uses the cameras on the drone to ensure that it lands safely, and they can direct it with a joystick to move around a bush or a dog or anything that might come in the way.
So that would be the postal carrier, because I think the Postal Service would only want one person going out. They wouldn't want two people now for every route.
No, it'd be a person in a command center.
I see. Okay.
Kind of like a call center where they're just all day just landing. And those might even be pilots. It depends how the FAA rules. But just to ensure a safe landing. And then the neatest part is after it drops a package, it has to determine where the truck is, because the truck could have moved on. And it figures out where the truck is, automatically goes there, hovers above the roof, the slide on top of the roof opens up, and it goes back into that hole, and then it recharges itself real quick if it needs a charge. So it's a very lightweight battery. It's just built to do these short hops, probably even line of sight hops. But you'd be surprised when you're doing a lot of those per day if you get, the drone can do it faster and obviously less expensive than the carrier.
And what do you hear from the Postal Service with respect to their schedule for this whole acquisition?
It's pretty tight. I'm really impressed that so far it's been right on the numbers. So you had to get an application in a while ago, and then they said somewhere around April 10th they're going to decide the first short list, which they did. Now an RFP, a very tight spec, comes out where everybody's got to submit very tightly. Before it was kind of a broad stroke, the vehicles, and then they will 30 to 60 days after, and that RFP is coming out in 3 weeks. And then 30 to 60 days, they'll decide a shorter list of folks that will make prototypes. Then you have 8 months to make the prototypes, and after that, they'll test them for 6 months and then award the contract.
All right, so we'll have to see if they go with the George Jetson and space age type of vehicle here with a drone on top. Steve Burns is the Chief Executive Officer at the Workhorse Group. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.